Good evening, everyone. It's Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. Are you about ready? Because I'm about ready. This is Marty Ford live on BBSRadio.com with the Powerhouse Hour Before You Shower of things to make you think. This is the place where you can listen, learn, and laugh occasionally when something silly gets in. And I do that once in a while, but it's a place of empowerment. It's a place where you can gather knowledge, insight, information, turn it into wisdom, and become empowered yourself to live that life that you mostly dream about or see others dreaming about or doing that wish you would do. But you are capable, and the only thing that's standing in your way is you. So let's get started with some, oh, wait a minute, hot off the press, I'm hot, I'm heated. I will not stay seated. Overcoming obstacles, often failing, never to retreat, nor accepting defeat. Victory is sweet, a warrior like the penguins in Happy Feet. The weather cooperated this year so the kids could trick-or-treat. And if Pete and Repeat were sitting on a fence and Pete fell off, who'd be left? Who? I don't know. If Pete and Repeat were sitting on a fence and Pete fell off, who'd be left? I'll get back to you next week. That's sort of an intro to our critical thinking brain busters. Because when you're thinking critically, you're examining your world and the world around you. You're analyzing. You're making good decisions. You're not worrying about failing, because failing is part of success. Anybody who tells you different is a liar or a fool, and get them out of your life. No good, right? Because you're going to experience setbacks, failures, whatever you want to call them. They're going to happen to you. How do you recover from them? How do you rebound from them? How do you pick yourself up? Who's there to support you in your endeavors, in your quest, in your journey to achieve more than you ever thought possible and accomplish more than you ever thought possible? Well, if you listen closely here, even half closely, to Marty Ford on You About Ready on BBSRadio.com, you will hear many ways to accomplish this, to accomplish your goals, and to meet and greet the life you desire. We have a segment on here called Critical Thinking. I just gave you one. That sort of came off the top of my intro poem, because I get heated out here down in Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsawa Station in a beautiful downtown area where we live. It's just great, and I get so I get where my brain doesn't function, and it just randomly bellow out things that I've done already. So I gave you one critical thinking thing about my good friends Pete and Repeat, but to review last week's brain buster or critical thinking item, the question was, how many birthdays does the average person have? How many birthdays does the average person have? And of course, there's only a single answer, and the answer is one, because you're only born once. I know some people are born again, but I'm talking about physiologically and biologically and all that other stuff. Starting out in infancy, you're only born once, so you only have one actual birthday. You might celebrate and observe or not your birthday every year. And for many people who formulate excuses for their shortness success in life, they always go back and blame it on something. And maybe it's because they didn't have a birthday party when they were 4 years old, or they didn't get invited to one. Right, so you only have one birthday. This week's brain buster is to make you think, how many outs are there in an inning of baseball? To repeat, not Pete and Repeat, but just to repeat this week's brain buster, how many outs are there in an inning of baseball? Right, now we're moving right along to our tidbit of useless information from my vast warehouse and storage facility. And useless information is good to have in your back of your brain, so when you're looking for in those awkward moments to break the ice with someone or something, you always say, hey, by the way, did you know that reindeer eat bananas? How that happened, I don't know. Where's the research on that? Who stood there and watched reindeer eat bananas? And where do they grow them up there where reindeer live near Santa Claus, up in the cold and the ice and the tundra, right? So it must be true, because I found it on the internet, our new source of truth, which is lacking in every other resource out there, so that we depend on it and we rely on it. And if it's true that reindeer do eat bananas, then we've rewarded ourselves and filled our brain with another tidbit of useless information. The people who study reindeer must be the same people who go out and film these great shows on National Geographic or Planet Earth or something. I'd like to know where they are. Every once in a while, they give you some insight on how the film is made. But to follow polar bears or spiders or ants or whatever, where are those cameras? How long do they have to be out there? I heard one was like 5 years. And, you know, who pays for that? Is it like the reindeer who eat bananas? Is it a another taxpayer paid by you and me, a government study, or just filler like everything presented by the big rectangular screen in front of us that brainwashes us? Who knows what's truth? But we hope it's true. We rely on it to be true, and we seek the truth. But if we don't have truth in our own life about ourselves and for ourselves, how can we expect to have truth in our external being? Did you happen to see what perhaps might be considered the greatest football game in college football? And it happened this past Saturday, where two highly ranked, highly skilled, highly well-coached, if that's a word or two or three, teams met down in Auburn, Alabama for the Iron Bowl, it's called. Rivalry week. You had Ohio State and Michigan, which is a great game. And I rarely watch two in a row. I barely can sit through one. But we have certain allegiances to the Michigan team, and we felt bad for them losing as they did. But I believe the coaching staff made the right decision, and that the quarterback from Michigan is a true warrior, just like we said in our opening about a warrior, like the Penguins in Happy Feet, never to retreat, never accepting defeat, overcoming obstacles. This kid did it, and he was one molecule of space away from having one of the greatest upsets in football. But they played with heart, energy, and spirit, and talent, and skill. And it was wonderful to see that, and sportsmen as well. Great, great game. Followed by a great, 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 great little greater game, because, again, we have an allegiance to the Auburn community down there. And they're tens of thousands of people in the stands, another tens of thousands outside of the stand. And what you saw was a comeback victory by a team who was destined to win that game, no matter how the situation was, what the circumstances were, because they believed in themselves. They overcame obstacles. They weren't going to be defeated. They did not retreat, stood tall and proud, played with pride and dignity, and won that game in a miraculous, suspenseful situation and closing. The only downside is there's a lot of negative activity out there. I'm almost certain I was told that the poor kicker, poor not money-wise, but poor situation-wise, the young man who tried to kick the game-winning field goal for Alabama, it's a life-altering situation for him, and we hope he gets a lot of help and support in his quest to regain his position and status in life, on and off the field. Whether he chooses to stay on the field or not, that's his choice. And I think he will, because you don't get to that point, even as an 18 or 19-year-old, without having that desire and that passion to perform and to do what you do best, and hopefully a little bit more the next time. Because the greatest teacher is loss. The greatest educator is failure. Because when you learn and rebound from that, you certainly feel good about yourself. And that's part of the purpose of me doing this show out here. Every week, Tuesday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on bbsradio.com. Name of the show is You About Ready. My name is Marty Ford. You can call into the station at 888-627-6008. It's 888-627-6008. You can send me an email, and the email is hamp, H-A-M-P, 73@gmail.com. Hamp73@gmail.com. And going back to the Auburn game for a minute, so many great things happened there in such a short period of time. And I just want to say that the player who ran back that winning short attempted field goal ran it back 109 yards. And once again, the committee that rules, who no one knows where they are, where they live, not live, where they work, what they are, never invisible in our society, they ruled that, yes, though it was 109 yards that the kid ran it back, he's only getting credited for 100. Because the rules say that on a kick, a field goal attempt that's missed, they only started from the goal line. Anything else is excess. Give the kid the credit. Give the team the credit. Make them proud, even prouder of what they did by giving them their just due. And you know what else you can do, NCAA? You can pay these kids. You can pay them. Why not? Because they're bringing in millions of dollars. They're the ones whose shirts and uniforms that people are buying at the stores, wearing with pride, whatever number it is and player they support. They're paying for it. Why not let the kids get paid for what they do? Yes, they get an education, but you know what? They need to live, so they don't have to, and they not just exist. They need to live, and they live to need to live nicely and comfortably without worry, so they have some financial security. Because they are putting it out there every week on the line, sacrificing their bodies, their souls, their life, their future, and it's a short career for many kids. And let's pay them. Pay him, and you don't have to worry about a kid selling a DVD player that he borrowed or took without permission from a roommate or somebody down the hall in the dorm or wherever they live, and selling it for $10 so he can put gas in the car or get something to eat or help his family pay the rent or buy them some food. Get away from all this stuff, because we've accepted. We have accepted, and we even expect lying, cheating, stealing, corruption, bribes, and scandal. Not just in sports. Forget that. Look at the papers every day. Open your eyes. Be aware. Keep an open mind. That stuff is through with us all over the place, and especially within our leadership. Big leaders, middle leaders, and little leaders. Small town mayors and councilmen people are corrupt, right? Doing things they shouldn't be doing to get our money, right? That's not to be spent on the things that they said they were going to do before they got put into office, before we put them in office through elections. So let's accept that fact and pay these kids. And let's not harp on everything that they do, every move they make. They live under a microscope anyway. And they're 18, 19, 20 years old. You go do that. It takes a very special, unique person, delicate, fragile, strong, inside and out, well beyond the gym. So let's take care of these kids during their college career while they're producing all this money, and not the arrogance of some leaders within the university community or within the oversight community like the NCAA who sit there with their arrogance and say, because I said so, right? It's just like Nancy Pelosi saying, because I can, when she was asked why she and her cohorts, contemporaries, peers, whoever they are, can take advantage of insider trading in the stock market, and we can't. So let's take care of these kids, right? Let's pay them, give them a break, help them, and they will become stronger, better, more productive contributors of our society. Independent, critically thinking, accomplishing more than they and anyone else ever thought possible. Becoming what? Empowered. That's the word. That's the word. So NCAA, let's relax your stuff out there. Go find something else to do than looking through a microscope at the lives and the conditions at all the universities and college kids who are producing all this greatness for our country to enjoy and revel in and support. Yeah, there's going to be craziness. They had a documentary on the Auburn, Alabama situation the next day down there with people being inappropriate with each other and doing stupid things. And actually eventually getting caught doing it and having to pay the consequences for it. What I say to those folks, you know, empower yourself. You're living a bored life. You're living your life vicariously through a team, an organization. Most of the time, you can't even see their faces because they're wearing a helmet. You don't even know who they are. You wouldn't know them on the street if you saw them. Right? No different than the crazy parents who go to their kids' youth sports games and rant and rave and badger and harass and just badmouth everybody out there seeking attention themselves or living through their kid's success through their life. Look at my kid. Look at my, you know what? Your kid doesn't want you there. You should go away. Parents should be banned from that stuff. Go do something else because you're bored and frustrated and you have no life. You have to become empowered. You have to get away from over micro managing every step and movement that your kids make. Give them some space. They won't be as crazy as you make them. They won't need meds at 7th and 8th grade, lining up at 9 o'clock for their attention deficit medicine or their psychotropics. Or we're just conditioning them to become more drug users as they get older. And I guess the farm companies love that. That's cool, right? But for them, if you're a stockholder, that's cool for you. And if you're making money, that's okay. But what are we doing to our culture? What are we doing to our kids? You know what we're doing to our kids? We're not letting them play. We don't let them play. We shadow them. We hover over them. We shield them. We think we're protecting them, and we are from safety, from a safety point of view, but let them go out and play without you. They don't need you there, nor do they want you there. And most of the times you're an embarrassment to them because you say stupid things, parents. And you continue to do it. And then you get in a verbal altercation. Then sometimes it turns physical and you get thrown out. Your kid gets thrown out. It's embarrassing all the way. It's youth sports. Very few are going on to higher and higher levels up the chain of success towards that goal and dream that everyone has of playing pro sports or maybe the Olympics or something like that. Step away from your kid, right? Chances are if you're an average, a regular player, that's who your kid is going to be, unless there's some unique gift that they have, maybe like music or art or dance or computers or writing, something like that. Maybe it's athletics. I don't know. You want to give your kid every chance, but you want them to let them be a kid and play. We don't let our kids play. We don't. They don't go outside and play. I've told this story before, and I'm going to tell it again, because it's a perfect example. Remember, examples are the best explanations. A woman I know is teaching. It was a spring day. It was beautiful on a Friday. Sun was out, crisp air, and she called the office and said, hey, can I send the kids out? I'll supervise them. To let them play from like 2:15 to a quarter to 3 when school is out, half hour, 30 minutes, you know? And they had a meeting in the office, and the principal said, no, you can't do it. Why not? Well, it's a little chilly out there, and not all the kids have a coat. Somebody might catch a cold. I don't think so. That's not the way it's passed, right? Unless someone sneezes and phlegms all over everybody else. And it rained a couple days ago. It's still little muddy spots out there. We don't want the kids bringing the mud back into school. Why don't you want that? We have maintenance folks on staff. That's their job, to clean the school, whether it's trash, dust, or mud. Let them do it. So anyway, they got shot down. So the kids stayed in there and looked at the computer on the screen and chit-chatted, and then they went home to do the same thing in the basement or their room without getting out and play. You know, if kids would get out and play more, maybe, just maybe, and oh, I'm not an expert, and we have to bring the experts in with all their alphabet letters after their name and papers that they've written and all the research that they've done that shows this, because you can make statistics say and do anything you want them to do for whatever reason. Who's ever paying for the study has the influence, right? Like the NCAA or the SAT or the other types of standardized tests, which teachers teach to instead of teaching kids about their subject matter and maybe a little few life lessons along with it, with some empowering tools that the kids can use today, tomorrow, and in the future. I had a college coach, or a teacher. He was also a coach, but I wasn't on his team. Small community college. And he said, what we do here in phys ed class, we try to give you lifetime carryover sports. You know, tennis, golf, swimming, maybe basketball, you know, things like that if your legs hold up. Mine are still somewhat there. I didn't play tonight like I usually do before the show with my shower, before the hour starts here, because we played last night, and the guys were anxious to play. The email went out, right, and it said, we can't play Tuesday. The school's used for the holiday party, not the Christmas party, the holiday party, because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And so we played last night, and boy, everybody was happy to be there. Why? Because they stuffed themselves, like we all do, too much indulgence at the turkey table on Thanksgiving night. But we don't let the kids play enough, and that's sad. That's very sad. And we have to get them out. We have to open the schools on the weekends, in the summer especially, open the buildings and have a schedule, let some parents volunteer their time, which they all will do. You'll find somebody, and let the kids play. Somebody, get some women to make the schedule, because, guys, we're not so good at that. We're good at playing, but let the women manage and organize it, not to be gender insensitive, don't give me those things, but that's the way it works. And we've got to use the school building that what? We pay for. And it's the most underutilized building in the country. All the schools are. All right. There was a team, not a college team, a high school team that was getting ready for their season a year or two ago. And the day before the season started, and this is about parents, coaches, and teaching life lessons, and lessons to the other kids on the team through this kid. So the kid, the day before the season started, handed his jersey, quit the team. The next day, when the first game of the season was on, he went back to the coach and pleaded his case, or whatever it was, it's not my fault, I didn't really mean it. I'm not to blame. Whatever the excuses were. Remember, excuses explain failure and reasons define success. If you find yourself coming up with excuses for all the situations in your life, like a lot of people in recovery do, then you're still playing the blame game and pointing the finger. When you're pointing one finger away from you, you're pointing three fingers back at you. So look at yourself in the mirror. You're to blame. And forget the word blame. Just go out and make it right. Become empowered. So this kid quits a team, let's say on a Thursday, first game is Friday. He's back on the team and he starts. And I said, dang, what the heck is that all about? Well, I mean, it's just unfathomable that in today's world, we let that happen. And that's just a weakening of our society because we don't want to hurt anybody's feeling and everybody deserves a second chance. And how would you like it if you were one of those kids who might have moved up a notch or two on the team to get to play more, and this kid's back on the team playing in a spot that you should be playing in, that you earned it and you didn't quit. You gave extra. You went the extra mile, right? So he went along and he played, and they found out that all the scoring came from his side of the field. And something not tragic happened, but unfortunate happened. He got injured and he couldn't play, and they moved other kids in, and the team went on a run, and they got into the tournament, the final game of the championship tournament. The day of the tournament, this kid goes back into the coach's room, puts his jersey on the table, says, I'm out, and walked out, right? So, you know, when you forgive somebody, we've always said, when you forgive somebody, like the coach did in the first game of the season, oh, I forgive you, you can come back. I know you didn't have a birthday party, and you didn't get a haircut when everybody else did, or whatever it is. I'll forgive you. Well, you know, when you forgive somebody, guess what, folks? They're going to do it again, and there's a perfect example. And what kind of life lesson does this kid have to live with the rest of his life, knowing that he quit twice on his team, his school team? You play for pride for your school. Beach Boy said, be true to your school, a long time ago. Well, he wasn't true to his school, so what's he going to feel like in the future? Will I continue, or will I take the easy way out and create excuses and blame somebody else? And the kid happens to be a nice kid, I know, right? And so I guess it was a combination of timing, of the coaches. Maybe the school got involved and said, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, right? Because I don't know what schools are doing now. Like I said before, teachers are teaching to the test and not much else. The kid is not empowered. He's enabled. And the family enabled him, the coach enabled him, and the school enabled him. And the other kids on the team got along with him. There was no dissension or ill feelings, but I'm sure there were deep down inside. And I know there would be if I was there. I said, damn, man, you're out, I'm in, now you're back, you decide, and I'm out? What the hell's that about? Life's not like that, right? And this kid learned, hopefully he learned a valuable lesson in doing that. Hopefully he can recover from it, right? Just a reminder, folks. This is just a reminder, maybe not so much a tidbit of useless information, maybe a piece of information. If you go out in the great vast expanse of our oceans, which covers probably 3/4 of the earth, if you're going out in a boat, way offshore, out of sight of the land, the shoreline, you're going deep sea fishing, you're traveling, whatever you're doing, bring some defense with you. I don't care what it is. A slingshot, a BB, bring weapons of something. Because when you're out there, you're exposed. 911's not coming to get you. And guess what? There's bad guys out there. We don't hear about it too much. You have to talk to people who have boats, who know. I don't have a boat. I get seasick if I'm in the bathtub. So bring protection with you, right? When a team is starting, a coach or an organization is starting, the first thing they do is build defense, preventing the other team from scoring, penetrating their zone, whatever you want to call it, encroaching on their land. So if you're, and this is a small field on land, you're out in the ocean, thousands of miles of stuff, right? Water and all the things under the water. And you don't want to be one of them under the water, temporarily or permanently. So bring guns with you. I knew a lady. She was a very sweet lady. She was a teacher. I think her husband was an administrator. They had a boat, an administrator in schools. Probably not the guy who said, don't go out and play, you know, study the computer more or look at the screen. He was a nice guy. I met him a few times, and I know this woman. So they were going out on their boat, and they were going to go from the East Coast down to the southeastern part of the country through the intercoastal waterway. And I said to her, well, you know, I did the cliche, have a safe trip, all that stuff. And she said, well, we're not leaving right away. My husband has to go pick up the guns. And this was the last woman in the world I would think would have guns and know how to use them. But she did. They went to the range. They practiced. They were skilled with it. And they had, I think, four guns. They kept at strategic points on the boat. And I asked her why. I said, the bad guys are out there. Who's going to come to our aid? Who's going to help rescue us? We don't travel in packs like the gray wolves, right? Or the hyenas that you see on National Geographic or any of those things. We're out there by ourselves, me and my husband. What are we supposed to do? So they bring protection. And guess what? Great listeners out there on bbsradio.com, listening to me, Marty Ford, on You About Ready, the weekly Tuesday night 9 p.m. show, live. Guess what? You don't need to make a movie to get your point across. Because when those, whatever that movie was, I saw the previews or features, I wouldn't pay a nickel to see that because it's stupid. That guy went out there unprotected. He might as well walk around in a cracked neighborhood with $50 bills and all kinds of stuff hanging out of his pockets with no protection. It ain't going to be nice. It ain't going to be pretty, right? So protect yourself if you're in vulnerable situations. Not like that captain of that ship who maybe was a nice guy. I don't know anything about it. I don't want to know about it. All I know is he put a lot of people in danger and peril because he wasn't protect. He didn't provide the safety, security, and the protection for the people on a ship. And you have to be protective no matter where you go. Now, last week we introduced a topic to fight boredom, especially for the people who are in recovery. Remember, there's two kinds of people, those in recovery and those in prevention. They do the same things. Once people in recovery learn that, and internalize that they're going to be in recovery the rest of their lives. That's cool. They're on their way. They're halfway empowered. Now they just have to fill their time with productive, healthy, positive things to do that what? Give them pleasure. Make them feel good about themselves and help them accomplish more than they ever thought possible. So we started with a couple last week. We're going to add some more tonight. And they're all simple. They're all doable. There's nothing magical or mystical about them. First one is go get your feet in a stream. Go soak your feet. Take your shoes and socks off. Roll up your pants if you have long pants. But go get, not in the winter. You don't want to catch a cold, which you won't. But the reality is, go get your feet wet. It feels good. It's nature. Nature's beautiful. Nature's wonderful. Nature is healing. Nature is peaceful. Nature is vicious and violent and is in control. If you don't think nature is in control, try to go down to the beach or the ocean, wherever you find waves of water. Usually it's an ocean, I guess. I'm not a scientist. But go down to the ocean and try to sweep away an ocean wave with a broom. Nature will wipe you out from one end of the beach to the other, shoreline. Right? So nature is strong and powerful. And I guess even the corporations are trying to overcome that when they are messing with the seeds and eliminating the bees, which are an important part of our food chain. So I'm told. I don't know anything about it. I try to stay away from bees, but I respect people who work with them and have them fly all over their body and not get stung. You know, one thing for me, I'm a real coward. A big, strong, tough guy. I'm a coward. So you can go fishing, or better yet, teach someone how to fish. That's empowerment. Because if I take you fishing today and I do all the work, I put the rod and reel together, I put the hook on the line, I put the bait on the hook, I do the casting off, we catch a fish, I bring it in, I take the fish off the hook, I clean it and cook it and feed you. You can eat today. But if I'm not around tomorrow, how are you going to eat? Where's the love that's going to teach you how to do that? So you have to be empowered. You have to learn how to do it for yourself. That's a simple, easy one. It's old school. Develop your creative desires, your passions. Everyone's got a skill, a blessing of some kind. In art or music or dance or theater or writing or computers, right, in today's day. Whether it's performing it or writing about it or just being part of the backstage, the development process of directing, producing, all the jobs that are, you know, Madonna comes to town for a one-woman show and there's 2,000 people pulling the strings, making it all happen. So there's opportunities out there for you to become part of something, right? Go through your house, room by room, your apartment, room by room, wherever you live. Because all these shows on TV teach you how to do it for a dime, and you do it yourself. Maybe you have to do it a few times to get it right, but you can still do it yourself. So redecorate, right? Everybody will be impressed with what you've done with your decorating, and soon you'll have your own cable TV show, right? Think I'm kidding? That's how they all started. I think Famous Amos made his stuff in his kitchen, as did the spaghetti sauce, the pasta sauce. Starts out in the kitchen, maybe ragu or one of those, right? You can volunteer anywhere. Volunteering leads to opportunities, especially if you're doing something you enjoy doing. Why? Because there's turnover in staff members in all these places that love to have volunteers working. In fact, I wanted to volunteer at our local hospital, especially at Christmas time, since it's a time when they need a lot of volunteers. And it was like a 6-month waiting list and then a 2-month training program. I said, just to volunteer, to push a cart down the road, to give out a cookie, right? Or take the laundry out of the room and take it down the hall. Yeah, there's that much demand for those jobs. Non-paying, but it makes you feel good when you give it away to someone else who might need you or the service you provide. So volunteering is good. The greatest gift you can give someone is your time, right? Whoever it is, whatever situation, you give away your time to someone, you feel good about yourself because you've done something good for someone else to make them feel good about themselves. And guess what they do? They'll do the same thing for someone else down the line, right? There was a popular commercial many years ago, and it was a scene where a father-in-law was giving his new son-in-law an envelope. And the kid opened up the envelope, looked inside, and I guess it was a big check for a lot of money. And the kid said, "Wow, I can never repay you." You know what the father-in-law said? "You don't do it for me, you do it for your kids." Right? Because you can't keep things unless you give them away. So you live as large as you want to live, but when you die and you go out destitute. Can't take anything with you. It's not necessary. Send a care package filled with goodies. Send a goodie bag, right? You remember what those are. You have little kids in sports. Everything is a goodie bag, birthday parties, right? Send it to a military soldier, one of our veterans. And by the way, speaking of veterans, in addition to doing this show, my show, You About Ready, live on bbsradio.com, phone number to call in is 888-627-6008. In addition to this, I also have a website that's strictly for military personnel, former and current people who are serving and who have served. It's the place where all they have to do is sign up with all their information. It's on the one or two pages of the website. Name, address, contact, not even address, name, contact points, email, phone, cell phone, etc. Where you served, what years you were in, what rank you were, any nicknames you had, what outfits you were assigned to and worked for. And it's a place where they can connect. They can find each other. And they need to do that. There is a $25 registration fee and a $10 annual renewal fee. That's for two reasons, those fees. Because I am not a nonprofit. I don't want to go through all the regulatory bureaucracy to become that. Because what I'm doing with the money, I'm going to offset the cost of the website, which is very minimal. Then I'm giving all the money away. That's what I want to do. I want to give it away to deserving vets. Because a lot of them are struggling out there with symptoms, not symptoms, with actual illnesses that can't be cured by medication and therapy, which doesn't work for most because they don't go and they stop taking the meds because they don't feel good about themselves. Because what makes them feel good about themselves is to be with, see, either Skype or in person, talk with, phone, email, any kind of communication they can have with their buddies. Because there's nothing more special and unique than that relationship you develop and form with the people you serve our great country with while you're wearing that uniform. It's very special. And if you haven't served, you can sign someone else up who has served and let them benefit from it and find your buddies. That's the only purpose of the website. Nothing else. There's no advertising. There's no anything. I'm supporting it myself. And that's why I want to take some of the money and a small portion to offset the cost and give everything away. And believe me, we'll find those folks. We'll find them. Right? Because they're out there and they're needy. All you have to do is walk the streets and go to the stores or the parks and you'll find them out there. So send a care package to a military person. Visit a museum, an art gallery, or a flower garden. Let your senses get lost. Rejuvenate your energy and your spirit. Go out and do something. These are all things to fight boredom so you're not sitting listening to Nancy Grace scream at you with all the others on the other stations, exhibiting and delivering rude, crude, socially unacceptable behavior. Not letting people finish what they say, interrupting all the time, setting bad role model or being bad role models for the kids. Hopefully they don't watch that stuff, but the stations the kids watch are almost just as bad. People just itching to get their piece in, say, have their voice heard on these TV things, and they're just being rude all over the place. Watch for it. And the rudeness transcends out into the world out there because you see it all over, bad behavior. Now they want to, the bad behavior will be manifest pretty soon because I think the airlines are going to allow people to use their cell phones while the plane is traveling, while you're in the plane. Remember, you want to get in the plane and not on the plane. While you're in the plane, you'll be able to use your cell phone pretty soon. So you'll be listening to all these conversations, people talking about useless things, right? Do you think you get useless information here? Just listening to people talk. Uh-huh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh. You listen to that for 2.5 hours, 3 hours on a flight, cross-country, nonstop for 5 or 6 or overseas? You'll blow your brains out. Not in the plane, though, because you can't get do that. But you really, there's going to be incidents of real rage. You know, you have the anger, the frustration, and just the rude behavior. How rude is it of someone to sit on a phone in a small, cramped space for multiple hours talking about nothing? Just gibberish is what Eminem calls it. Nowadays, everybody's talking like they got something to say. Nothing comes out when they move their lips. Nothing but a bunch of gibberish. Right. You got nothing good to say. I think he took that from the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock, which is a very famous poem, and I can't remember who wrote it. But in the line, there's a repeated couplet. I think it's a rhyming couplet, if I remember my English right, where it says, in the room the people come and go talking of Michelangelo, talking like as if they know who Michelangelo was and what he was thinking and how he was feeling and all this other stuff through his art. A lot of times messages can be conveyed that way and interpreted, but that's all it is. It's one person's an opinion. And we know what an opinion is. It's like a belly button. And one other thing, everybody's got one. So you can do all those things. You can learn to do yoga, right? Nothing wrong with that. Very calm, relaxing. You can do it in front of the TV. The ladies have a show on there. You can go to the firehouse or to the library or someplace in your town or in your neighborhood where that kind of stuff takes place. So that's another 8 or 10 things you can add to your list of things to do, because we like lists around here. And the things to do are helping you to fight boredom, which is what? The enemy of us all. The 3 books I've written, the first one is called Power Up Your Power. The overwhelming theme of this show is empowerment, because that's what it's about. It's you becoming who you want to become, doing what you want to do on your terms, calling the shots, right? You in control. When you're in control, you win. Right? You have reasons to explain your success. When you're not in control, you're not winning. You might not be winning today. You might not be winning tomorrow either. And that's when you start coming up with the blame game, finger pointing, and excuses to explain your failure. We have a lot of lists here. Oh, here's one that we always talk about. It's the cliches. Cliches are the modern day cursing. We just hear them over and over and over again. I think it started in the 60s, and I was guilty of it because I worked in a supermarket in the meat department or deli department, slicing bologna and cheese and all that stuff, lunch meats and all the salad stuff. And every time a customer would leave, thank you very much, have a nice day, thank you very much, have a nice day, I got sick of it. My mouth hurt to say it. So I would come up with other things to fight it, just not say anything at all. Just say, hey, thanks, hey, we'll see you next time. Hey, thanks for stopping by, good to see you. Enjoy your food, right? One lady used to come in, can I have 1 roll, 2 ounces of bologna, and 1 slice of cheese? My brother who worked with me, he used to sit there and say, hey, can I come to your party? Just a little levity. Right? Well, it was a couple other ones. Oh, we had the numbers, you know, serving number 83, 92, whatever it was. So it was one day, it was a Saturday, it was quite busy. We had a little microphone there because people were shopping around the store and we were calling out the numbers. And I called out number, who's 95? And a nice little lady came up to the counter and said, I'm 95. And I sat there and said, ma'am, you don't look a day over 94. You look great. And she smiled. I don't even think she heard what I said, but just the acknowledgement of her existence, which is what we need in this world, because many of us walk around saying, does anybody know I'm here? Does anybody see? That's why people do outlandish things to their bodies, in their clothing, in their presentation of themselves, hairs, body art, and so forth, which is fine. But we're seeking some form of attention, some form of recognition that we do exist. We have a purpose in here. Kids struggle with that. And if kids are struggling with that and it's not being addressed because they're too busy in front of the computer or learning more lessons or studying for a test or going to a tutor after school or any of that stuff, there's no time for them. Where's the me time? I need alone time. I need to be in my room. I need to be in the, I need to play. I need to get rid of this energy. I'm frustrated, right? What do you think I play for? I'm 63 years old. I play basketball two to four times a week, depending on the season. I'm out Sundays gimping around with guys half my age, in all cases, and more, and with skills well beyond it. But I'm out there because I need it. I need the burn. I need the sweat. I need the expenditure of energy. Not that I'm going to come home and wild out, but I go a week without that kind of activity, and I'm starting to feel like, whoa, I got to go do something. It's not that I'm going to go punch the walls or anything like that. It's just that's the habit. That's how I've trained my brain and my body to respond. And also, you know, maybe I'll have a bowl of ice cream as well and feel guilty about it later. So we have the cliches. Where are they? In the past, we've had amazing. Everything's amazing these days. You know, we talk about that every week. And the most common one today, you hear it all over. I've heard it at work three times this week at sort of meetings. At the end of the day. Well, at the end of the day. I'm so sick of that I could vomit. I want to throw up at the end of the day from hearing that at the end of the day all over the time. Ramp up, dial up, best in class, all in. Remember, the people who use all in, I see it on the usually men who can't get it all in without help from a little blue pill when they should be using yeast to get a rise on. All in is popular. Infused, flat out. Oh, big one. Big one a few weeks ago during, I think, one of the election times. Boots on the ground. We'll get, oh, not election, during the, I think, Syrian crisis or one of those Middle East crazy places. No disrespect to the people, but it is insane over there, more so than it is here. And we're insane for supporting it when we got kids going to bed without food, even though there's methods of them getting food. Some places in the country, I know firsthand, some of the kids have to make a choice. Do I eat breakfast or do I eat lunch? Because the schools aren't open. It's the summertime. The programs aren't there. They're 9-month programs. So how do you eat for 3 months? Right? Or how do you not eat for 3 months where you make these choices like Sophie had to do? Terrible. But we can support wars all over the place. So the boots on the ground, right? The good old boys always saying that. Those who never serve always say that. And their sons and daughters don't go because they're the privileged ones living in somewhat luxurious conditions, going to the private preppy schools, having their pictures taken at a crash scene and put it out there on the internet so they can be seen doing something good because they have a need to fulfill because their life is so empty that I don't know if it's manufactured or staged or what, but I certainly don't think it's true. Yes, I think the incident happened. It was a car wreck, and I think it was Romney's kid was out there. So in order for him to pump up the image, maybe it's the Republican National Committee trying to reach the common folk, the minority vote, the diverse vote. That's what their plan is, to reach out. We haven't been addressing that population, that segment of the voting people. Where have you been? I mean, this is who is in the country right now. They're just deciding, wow, we have a lot of Asians. We have a lot of Hispanic. We have a lot of blacks. We got all kinds of people. And, geez, we're just going for the white-haired old white people, right? And those numbers are being reduced. So they have to amp up, and everything, throw up is what I want to do when I hear this stuff, their mission to reach the other people, us common folk. And maybe Romney's son posing in front of that picture, and you probably can find it on the internet. Just look up Romney, stupid, seeking attention in other ways. Maybe he needs it. Yeah, maybe that crew needs, hey, recognize me. I'm not my father's son. I have my own identity and all. You know, because for years, my wife and I were our kids' mother or father. No one knew who we were. They knew our kids, and that's how we went through their lives, which is fine. I have no problem with that because I enjoyed being part of that scene with our kids in their school stuff, in their sports stuff, in their life in general, just having fun. So this week's cliche, another one is huge. You're hearing huge all over the place now, not to describe the obese population that we've become, which is true. We are huge in many ways. But huge meaning, wow, it was a huge play. That was huge for us. We did great. We excelled. It was huge, right? But unfortunately, we are too obese because we're not doing anything. We're not getting up, getting out, and getting going. We're just sitting around getting fat and getting fatter and getting fatter, right? And buying bigger clothes, bigger clothes, bigger clothes. I'll bet if you took a size, a sample of each size of clothes, I'll go men's clothes because that's what I am for the most part, I guess, take a large from today from a large from 25, 30, 40 years ago, it's completely different, right? I took a look at some pictures from the 60s when I was in school from the old neighborhood, and you know what I noticed? Everyone was thin or slender. No one was obese. There were some overweight kids, me being one of them, the short, fat kid, but, you know, I was still in somewhat good shape. But today, that's the opposite. You look today, and everyone's fallen out of their pants or squeezed into them like a sausage or something. So we have this obesity problem, and there's only two ways to get rid of it. Remember Rooster Cogburn was teaching, I think, Katharine Hepburn in True Grit? Is that the thing? The movie? I forget. Anyway, he was teaching her to fire the rifle, and he said two things, windage and elevation, windage and elevation. And she could fire the rifle with some sort of accuracy and got better as she practiced, I'm sure. So what we need to get rid of the obesity problem is diet and exercise. Diet and exercise. Shut your mouth. Instead of doing push-ups right away, do push-aways. Push away from the table. Push away from 5 pounds of potato salad you get for $3 at the big box stores that you're going to eat because it'll go bad. You have to throw it away, and we don't want to waste food, right? Because our kids are starving in America, many of them. And families as well. So reduce your intake, increase expenditure. It's a math thing. It's a science thing. I can't explain it either way. But I know the less you take in and the more you put out, you burn off somewhere, the math has to work unless you got some kind of physical problem, which maybe under 5% of the population has with the thyroid or whatever other conditions are out there that have been brought on by our diet and lack of exercise. You know, so and get a checkup and go for a walk. Go tell your doctor you want to start an exercise program. Go for a walk. 30 minutes a day. I read it last week. Some expert said a good walk for 30 minutes a day is a great way to exercise. No kidding. Where have you been? This is a revelation. It's like people calling up Butterball 800 number to learn how to cook a turkey. You know, oh, well, 20 minutes a pound. And cover it in tin foil, take it off, let it come out and cool, put it back in the warm-up, and it's done. I mean, no secrets to it. Whatever flavors you wanted to put in there, make it that way. You don't need thousands of phone banks telling people how to cook a turkey. How weak and enabled are we? We can't even cook a turkey. Come on now. Jeez, let's get real with this stuff and take some independent, critical thinking and make a decision for yourself. And if it's wrong, that's okay. You can fix it. Right? Open a can of tuna fish. It's not that bad. Actually, I think tuna fish is a redundancy. Right? We don't say salmon fish. We do say swordfish. So why do we have to use the word fish after the, I don't know, not that smart. So this week, the cliches are tweak. Tweak's a good one. Oh, I tweaked my ankle. Before the show comes on, I'm getting better at dancing and shaking and baking the body over here to the sounds of my great soul songs, the blue-eyed soul songs, because I don't know what to do with all my soul. I can't control it. So I let it out through music. I listen to music because I can't make music. In fact, what I know about music would echo in a thimble, but I appreciate music. I think I have an ear for it. I don't know what it is, but I like it. Makes me pumped up. It gets me energized. It gets my blood flowing. The juice is going, and I'm ready to do the show. So I maybe tweaked my bone or something or muscle while I was simulating dance here, and you know, it's really ugly. I never dance in public, and I don't think white people should. Not a racist thing, but if you go to a wedding and watch the people attempting to do dance and keep in time with the music and all, it's ugly. It can be ugly. What you should do is watch a little Steve Winwood roll with it and get your body shaking and moving like that. You'll feel better. You're not just out there pounding on a hard floor, giving yourself shin splints, which is another excuse not to exercise, especially after eat too much at a wedding. And probably drink too much, too. So tweak, you know. We have to tweak the policy. We have to tweak a recipe. I just tweaked it a little bit. A little bit more garlic, you know, and a little less spice, or another pound of butter, or sour cream, or salt, a whole container of salt. Just throw it in, and I'll stuff it in my face like they do on those food shows, which are obscene. Right? After you watch them once or twice, you have to say, I'm ready to throw up. I lost my appetite. You know, when you put, you know, a chicken patty, a hamburger, French fries, mozzarella sticks, chicken nuggets, and everything else that's in the freezer fried onto a sandwich with lettuce, tomato, coleslaw, pickles, and you have like an 8-pound sandwich, How are you going to eat that? It's good for like 6 or 8 people. Cut it up in pieces. But no, they have those folks who are going to either explode or implode right in front of you eventually on TV. Now, some oldies but goodies as far as cliches, which is also a cliche, some oldies but goodies. I guess that's a radio thing from the 50s and 60s. But preaching to the choir. I'm not that religious. I have no idea what that means, right? I know there's a simple explanation, but why not give me the simple explanation instead of using a cliche? Get creative. Use your brain. That's why we curse, because we don't take time to use more appropriate words that will show that we have some intelligence. Not calling people who use curse words all the time ignorant because they sell a lot of music, right? When that's okay. Music is good for you. Music makes me lose control, and I can get loose, and I can have a good time as long as nobody's watching. Preaching to the choir. You know, I wasn't born in that arena, so I don't know what it's about. I don't know if it's the pot calling the kettle black or the kettle calling the pot black. I don't know what it is anymore. It's so overused, and I still don't get what that is. I don't think it's a racial thing. I hope it's not, right? But it could be. Just like Black Friday, I hope it's not a racial thing. Because as Red Fox says, there's no black and there's no white, there's no yellow, there's no brown, there's no red, there's no anything. We're all green. Some of us are a little darker green, some of us are a little lighter green, but we're all green. And green is money. And there ain't nothing more important than the moolah, to quote another famous rapper. I think it's French Montana. Or Montana French. I'm dyslexic and I get it backwards all the time. But listen to his song, There Ain't Nothing More Important Than the Moolah. And that tells it all. Because when you break it down, there isn't. That's why people do what? Lie, cheat, steal, scandal, bribes, embezzle. Because it's the money. If it wasn't for the money, they wouldn't do it. Why do you think politicians get in there? Oh, my goodness, I forgot about that. We got to talk about this, too. Too much on your plate, right? There's too much on your plate. Which means you're multitasking. And you know what multitasking is? That's one of the cliches as well from the past. The definition of multitasking, the new one recently, maybe a year I've heard it after I've been saying it for years. The definition of multitasking is doing a lot of things at the same time, none of them well. That's sad. Now, I wanted to talk about Obamacare. It's here. It's real. No one knows what's going on, right? The healthcare situation. There's confusion. There's doubt. There's fear. There's actual doctors being dropped by health plans. There's people being dropped by health plans. There's people going to bed who were insured today who aren't tomorrow or aren't tonight. And no one knows what's going on. And all we hear is what? I'm sorry, right? I'm sorry. And of course, when you forgive them, they're going to do it again. And they continue. They give us deadlines like the first of the month or the end of the month or at the end of the day or whatever that crap is. And nothing's happening. And no one knows where this is going to go, except that probably healthcare companies are going to increase their profits a bazillion times, because I think bazillion is even higher than a billions and zillions by doing this, whether or not they're going to provide any better service. And I would hope most is well provided by the medical profession and the healthcare providing companies. But I think it should go back to either one of two things: competitive business, the way business is run, and the strong survive, and the ones who survive can provide. And make it reasonably cost, not like having to go up 15% every year when no one has a pay raise in the past 5 years at most places of work. But I have the solution right here on bbsradio.com. Marty Ford live, 9 o'clock Eastern time zone, every Tuesday night. We're on bbsradio.com, and I have the solution for the healthcare Obama scare. Let's get rid of the fear so you can put your head down at night and sleep soundly, peacefully, knowing, God forbid you need something, service is there and it's paid for. Here's what we do. We have 300 million people, approximately, in the country. Let's say we're going to use 21 as the eligible age. There's 150 million of those. Let's just say. I'm not a data statistician, numbers guy. We need some 14-year-old who's good with numbers to figure all this out. If you want to change the law to 18 years of eligibility, the numbers even rise. Maybe it goes up to 200 million or 250 million. I don't know. We're going to have a national lottery, folks. That's what we're going to do. And that's going to pay for national health care for all U.S. citizens, right? All of us. If you participate, if some don't want to participate, they have something against gambling, which is a part of our soul. And it all started at the church in the bingo lounge, or playing dominoes or checkers. not the Bingo Lounge, but the Bingo Social Hall. And now it's grown to the fact that we're repaying Native Americans for abusing and torturing and eliminating their populations and creating alcoholics all over the place. We're paying them back by building casinos, which is gambling, right? So it's here and it's real and it's true. And I think we're even getting online gambling in many places. It doesn't have to be offshore. So we're going to have, let's say, the 150 million people who are eligible to play the game. You limit their bet to $10 a week per person, which is $520 per year. The gross income from that is $78 billion. Expenses, we're going high on the expenses because we know there's going to be a lot of people with their hands in the till trying to scam and cheat and get away with it. So we'll go high on expenses. Expenses is what? Rent for a building, which you can buy and own and depreciate and all that other stuff. And staff, you got to have people who run it and pay them, pay a decent, make a living for them. And benefits as well. So 15% of the $78 billion comes to $11,700,000,000. So you have a net income before the winnings are paid out of $66,300,000,000. That's the income just from 1 year. And you can have, I'll get to that in a minute. We're going to pay out every week $25 million. Every week, $25 million is going out, whether there's one winner or there's 150,000 winners. Every week, we're giving away $25 million, and that's what we're doing. So the first year, you're giving out $1,300,000,000. Sounds like a lot of money to give out. It's not, because you're still left with $65 billion after the bills have been paid and the winnings have been paid. That's after the overhead. This is net dollars first year, $65 billion first year. Now, you can register online, right? We'll make it simple, not like Obamacare and have the computer. We'll get, again, some 14-year-old computer whiz who could probably hack into every place out there, and we'll pay them. We'll set him up. We'll pay for his college at MIT, wherever he wants to go, and buy him a house and a car when he's eligible and all this stuff. But he and some of his friends have to set up the hardware behind the scenes, right? So it doesn't crash, fail, and disturb people, actually destroy lives when, if you compare it to the Obamacare. Now, subscriptions, this is cool. You can subscribe and sign up for 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, 15, or 25 years, 20 years, however, up to 25 years in 5 year increments, right? And what's that do? That generates more cash flow. So if everybody signs up for 25 years, it's 25 times $65 billion. I don't know how much money that is. I got a small calculator. Again, you need a 14-year-old whiz kid to do that in math. And then what happens is every year The 20-year-olds become 21, they become eligible. If we have a problem with that, if we need more money, we change the law. Very simple. They do it all the time down there. Like I said, Congress changed the law so that the politicians can take advantage of insider trading. Why can't we do this for the national lottery? It's called the two-year health lottery because you're getting health care for it. And you're getting a chance to win a few bucks in your bank account. So even with a modest investment of 2 to 3% in a bank account or a CD, if, well, whatever it is, 1 to 2%, you're still making a lot of money off the interest, right? Revenues will steadily increase even if subscription times decrease. We'll have a population change, like schools used to have 4 kindergartens, population demographic changes, now they have 2. So we have to go those cycles, and the demographers can take care of that. They can base the national lottery model on many of the states' lottery or the Powerball, some of the other multi-state lotteries. Same with the numbers and the payouts and all this stuff. We need experts for that, and I'm sure there's a lot of them out there. Now, here's some kickers. All the winning prize money is distributed in lump sum payments. You don't have to wait 25 years for it, with no discount for taking the cash. You win $1 million today, you take cash, you're going to get maybe $600,000. Now you're paying taxes on that, another $200,000, so you're left with $400,000. So you didn't win $1 million. We want to do away with that. If you win $100,000, that's what's going in your bank account. And here's another good kicker. This is great. Is kicker a cliche? We used to play poker, and we always used to keep, if we had a pair or something, and a king or an ace, the king or the ace was called the kicker. Maybe you got another one. You'd have two pair. You'd have a good hand to bet a few bucks in. All the winning prize money is tax-free. How about that? Tax-free. This is America. Taxation with representation. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We do have representation, and it's not any better than it was when we came over a couple hundred years ago. So let's just make it tax-free and simple so the accountants don't have to write another, the government, GAO, doesn't have to write another 50,000-page document that no one understands and can interpret. Save on postage. Even though the post office is hurting, they could use the business. We're going to have all the winning prize money distributed via electronic direct deposit mail. So you win, you might not even know it. Check your bank account on the computer, because sometimes the banks will charge you. If you go in and talk to a person, call on the phone, there's a fee there. There's a fee for tying your shoes. Careful with the bank fees. We just had one. Something with a joint account between both our kids and my wife, and there was something glitched out. There's another word, cliche. Something's messed up, and we were getting charged $25 a month. It took 6 months to cure it. Got the phone call last night. So be careful with the fees. This way, we eliminate all that stuff by having direct deposit. National healthcare lotteries are drawn on Wednesday night, right in the middle of the week, hump day. Big commercials about camels on hump day. Let's use that. Do a little bit of marketing, a little bit of plugging. No big deal. Once the word gets out, word of mouth is your best advertising. I speak from experience in several businesses as a youth or a youth, depending on where you're from. We can make a newsletter and put it out at the post office. People can pick it up, find out where the winnings are going, what's going on with this, and how the healthcare system has been rejuvenated, revived, and probably just born. Not reborn, but born. Maybe that's a better way of looking at it. Because that's what we're going to do. We're going to use this week's answer to the critical thinking question. How many birthdays does the average person have? One. We're going to give birth to this national healthcare program once and once only. One and done. We're out of there. It'll work. Self-supporting. The money's going to flow in like Niagara Falls. All right? Excuse me. That's the plan, plain and simple. Now, we have cynics, we have doubters, we have critics. All they're going to do is punch holes in it. I'm open to that. That's what, you know, if Edison listened to those folks, we'd never have a light bulb, right? Because those folks are out there. They're the ones that are probably going to end up getting a government contract through some form of connection they have to run this thing. Because it has to, remember, like the casinos in Cuba that were being divided up by Hyman Roth, the right people have to be distributed and paid. Not saying that those folks are involved with this. We want to keep it somewhat out of their hands, but there's going to be dirt in there somewhere, and people's hands are going to be greased along the way. But we can think of a million and one excuses to explain why it won't work. Again, excuses defining failure. But all it takes is a few reasons to make it happen. Only a few reasons. The right people of influence, position, and power, authority, whatever, leadership, true leadership, like a true freshman. I don't know what that is. I don't know what a true leader is, because every time I think I trust in a leader, somewhere along the line, the fall of the leader comes by and smacks me right in the eyes when I'm reading about it. But if you make reasons why it'll happen. Let's clean it up. Yes, it has to be tweaked. I know that. But someone's got to put it out there. Because all we have now is confusion. When you have confusion, you have distrust, right? And when you have distrust, you don't have confidence in the leadership. And as we know, leaders can be real bullies and be a real pain in the neck by not listening to the people who put them in the position to make those decisions for us, right? It was Black Friday. We talked about that. Are you really saving any money? I don't know what you're doing. You could probably buy that stuff on sale during a regular time and pay just as little or less if you wait. But we have this insanity because we're brainwashed by that electronic rectangular box screaming at us that you got to get out and shop. Sit right after you have your turkey. Eat your turkey early. Cook it at 4 in the morning so you can eat it at 2 in the afternoon so you can get to the store at 5 o'clock at night because we're staying open until 6 o'clock in the morning, right? I'll tell you what. We went to the store on Saturday, parked right up front at a mall, smaller mall, not one of these town-destroying malls, empty stores downtown. We went to a mid-sized mall. Major tenants were there. Walked in, got what we wanted. 20 minutes, we're out. No crowds, nothing. On Saturday, I didn't want to go there Friday. That's insane. I don't know why people do that. Is there a hunt? Is there a quest, an adventure, a mission to conquer? and to secure something you think you really need and want? I don't know what's going on. How shallow is your life? Forget all that stuff. Go take a walk. You'll feel better. Listen to music. Paint something. Do some of the things that we talked about earlier in to fight boredom, the enemy of us all. I don't know. But certainly we don't need Black Friday. We do not need it to get people revved up, pumped up, amped up, and all the other up chucks. I want to get a dog and name him Chuck so I can teach him tricks like, give me your paw, that's cool. And then I can roll over Chuck, and Chuck will roll over. And then I can teach him up Chuck, and then he'll throw up all over the floor. Not really. They do that when they eat grass. And I think that's why dogs are crazy. Dogs are as crazy as the people on the streets. In fact, I think they get that way because all the people that have these big houses with nice lawns and all want them manicured and perfect, they're pumping chemicals. We don't know what's in there to make them and keep them green and healthy looking. The dogs get their snouts in there and sniffing all this stuff, making them crazy. I see more dogs who have a leash wrapped around their muzzle. What the heck is going on with that, right? So the dogs are getting crazy as the people because the crazies are on the streets. We should empty the jails of the marijuana people who are basically harmless. All they want to do is smoke a little weed, eat some Malamars, and drink a glass of wine and go to bed, right? Maybe they can function a little better. They're more predictable than the crazies out there, the ones who should take meds who aren't, the ones who need them more than they're taking, and the ones who have to be like spoon-fed life. They're the dangerous ones because the volatility, the uncertainty, the emotional crisis that's going on in their brains down to their toes, it's unhealthy. And that's why we're stuck inside our homes looking at the rectangular electronic box, getting brainwashed, and you can see how the cycle continues, afraid to send our kids on their bikes to the park so they can play and have fun and burn off energy and come back tired and go to bed without prodding after the homework is done, right? After the homework is done. You don't even have to feed them. Let them go out and play. They won't miss a meal. That's okay. The hungry kids, though, we got to take care of them. Like we got to take care of our veterans. We got to take care of our kids. Because without the kids, there's nothing for us. Who's going to take care of us? Right? That stuff happens. We're coming into the home stretch. There's another good cliche. I just thought, sometimes I think, God, what's my cliches going to be this week? And they just pop out because I'm so brainwashed as everyone else out there. But I'm really trying hard to avoid that stuff. Every month has a holiday to observe, celebrate, and save 50% more or more at the stores. Every month, save one. We'll get there. January, got New Year's Day. Yeah, the stores are closed, but people have spent up to that time spending a lot of money. And they're still probably partying on New Year's Day anyway, so some of the places don't close where they go. We have Martin Luther King's birthday, observation of that. Still, it's a somber occasion. He's a great man, said a lot of great things, did a lot of great things. Probably did a lot of bad things too, like all leaders out there. Didn't see him so much as a bully as many of the other leaders out there. I don't know anything about him. I was too young at the time or not interested enough to follow that stuff. So we have Martin Luther King's birthday to celebrate. Schools are off, many of them, and so forth. But there's still sales. February, we have Valentine's Day, where you can buy a $20 bouquet of flowers a dozen. You can spend $80, $90, $100, $120, or whatever you want, because that's what it goes on Valentine's Day. You can buy candy on Valentine's Day. And if you're smart, guys, this is a tip for the guys. And you can even tell the people in your life you're giving candy to, whoever that might be, say, listen, I'm going to buy your candy on February 15th. I said, oh, that's no good. Well, I'll get a little candy bar for a buck at the store, but on the 15th, I'll give you your Valentine's candy. I'm going to give you twice as much. Why are you doing that? Because it's half price. You know, be a hero, be a sport. Save a buck. And I think in February, we also have President's Day or President's Weekend, where some kids get off from school, Disney World gets crowded, and the malls are giving you 50% off or more. March is St. Patrick's Day, another festive time of inebriation. April is Easter for the religious, and also Easter is probably one of the two times that many people go to church to pray. And in May, we have Memorial Day and Mother's Day, where again, Mother's Day, like Valentine's Day, you can spend, you know, $50, $80, $100 for a $20 bouquet of flowers. June is Father's Day. July is 4th of July. September is Labor Day. a day off from school, if school's open, or a day to extend summer and spend more money on sales. October is Halloween, where Halloween spending is almost eclipsing Christmas spending. And in November, we have Thanksgiving, where we overindulge in too many carbs. Listen, you want to lose some weight? Just try this. Reduce, reduce, reduce. Not eliminate, but reduce the carbs and the sugars. Because when you eat the carbs, it turns to sugars in your mouth or whatever it is. The starch turns to sugar, gets your brain craving sweets. So you're going to have the pie, the ice cream, the candy bar, and all that stuff. The weight's going to stay on. Stay away from the beers. If you have three beers, have one. Half of one. Nurse it. Drink some water, right? Or flavored water, whatever. But get rid of the carbs. Reduce those, and your pants will be fitting loosely in 3 or 4 days. Not that you're going to lose 10 pounds. You won't have that bloated feeling of having a loaf of bread and sponge stuck in your gut. It's a great thing. So try it. You can eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen, and dinner like a pauper to go another route, right? Load up on a big breakfast that you're going to burn off. Supplement it at lunch because you're still working, you're active and all. When you come home, you're laying in front of the clicker control with your rectangular electronic brainwashing tool. Don't eat anything. Have a cup of tea, maybe an apple or a banana or something like that, and that's it. Go to bed a little hungry because millions of kids do. Why can't you, right? Just like the politicians. If I can serve the military, why can't you? If you can take, Mr. Politician, an advantage of insider trading, why can't I? And so forth and so on. You can see how everything, if you break this craziness and insanity, by the way, insanity keeps me from going crazy. And it's just a state of mind. But if you can break it down and segment by segment as they overlap and become infused, is another cliche, you can see how everything is related to each other. And you can see how the silliness that I'm trying to present in a serious, or actually the seriousness I'm trying to present in a silly manner is related. And when you break it down, you can find resources of strength that are going to empower you to accomplish more than you ever thought possible. So we got to October for Halloween. We got to November for Thanksgiving. We got to December, which is a trifecta of three big religious holidays or seasons of times of religious purpose, and I'm not going to mention them because you know them. I'm going to be politically correct and say it's the holiday season. Happy holiday season's greetings. Now, if you were listening critically to what I was saying, you notice that I missed August. Now, there's no holiday that I know of in America that is observed and celebrated in August, right? Why? Because it's summer, and people don't want to do all that stuff. They don't want to have to be home or get to a family gathering. They want to have some independence and take their 1 week of vacation, one of their 2 weeks of vacation they get every year and hope it doesn't rain, and go to the mountains or the beach or Disney World or the island or someplace, hiking, boating, whatever they want to do, away without having to worry about getting home to get back to observe a holiday of some kind. Because you know what's going to happen in the middle of your vacation. So August is void of a national type holiday observation. And the sales do start because I think right at the beginning of August, right as football season is starting to go to training camp, what do you see? Back to school sales. So it's in our face anyway. It's not really a holiday, but it's the guilt trip that you have to get that list from your third grade school teacher. What do I need? The dry erase mark. I can't get the one. They're out of them. They have to wait 3 weeks. I don't want my kid to go to school without the dry erase mark or the compass or whatever else they need because they'll feel weak and it'll be the excuse they rely on to explain a failure that they have later in life, right? That's what they'll do because I didn't have the right color or the right size dry erase mark. Sounds silly and sounds stupid, which it probably is, but little things lead to big things. So we want to make everybody happy by getting the back-to-school stuff in the beginning of August so we're ready and loaded to go, right? That's waste. Anyway, that's how we observe our year. We live it from month to month, event to event, because we have very little going on in our lives. We need something to latch on to. And that's the purpose of this show. So you have things to fight the boredom and the monotony that you're doing when you're not doing anything. You got to get up, get out, get going. You got to empower yourself to do something good for yourself. Because remember, It all starts with you. It all starts with you. When you do something good for yourself, you feel good about yourself. When you don't, you're not feeling anything. You're not feeling anything, right? And the better you feel about yourself, the better you're going to do. I gotta mention this tonight because it's about education. I'm going to quote something in a newspaper here, or barely quote it. You always have some students, kids who say, I don't want to go to college, you know, because there's a lot of wine. Not enough cheese for the wine, but there's a lot of wine. And they're underage, so they shouldn't be doing that. It means they can't participate in the National Healthcare Lottery until they become of age. Hopefully it'll be 18. I don't want to go to college, but, you know, don't kids know? Don't they realize and understand that whatever they want to do in life, they're going to need to go to college for? And this is from an advisor, a school expert in the nation's capital, saying that they need to go to college. When you know what? You don't. He wants kids to apply to colleges to go to colleges. Well, when you think, we went through this twice. Kids are applying to 4, 5, 6, 10, 12 colleges. That's a lot of money. A college has 1,000 seats for their incoming freshman class. They get 10,000 applications. Even in medium schools, they're getting thousands of applications at 50, 60, 70 bucks an application, non-refundable. So sure, they want you to apply. Well, only 1,000 are getting in, so maybe you got a 1 in 10 chance, depending on the numbers. I don't know, 1 in 5 chance. Who knows? But it's a churning of money, a cash flow lottery slot machine. Not even a lottery, because it's just money pouring in to a small office of, however, 5 or 6 or 7 people that are supported by this cash flow of application fees. That's why they want you to apply to colleges, because not every kid should go to college. I know plenty of kids who don't belong in college. I didn't belong in college when I was 18. I didn't take a gap year. I took a gap 4 years. I went in the military, served the country, right? And had fun and grew up and enjoyed life. It was the greatest experience of my life, I guess, next to being born and having family and kids and love in my life. It's wonderful. Not for everybody. Just like college isn't for everybody. A gap year isn't for everybody. But where are the kids? Do we really need more marketing, communications, and liberal arts majors? And when they come out of college, there's no jobs, and they're back home living there in the basement, looking for somebody to hang out with who's also in the same situation, where a lot of towns, the kids are back home. And it's not a bad rap against them. It's that, what are you preparing today for tomorrow? You learn from the past. You prepare for today, so you can have it tomorrow. So when you're in these colleges with all these courses that they have, that they make up, you need a science class? There's 50 to choose from. You'll get your science credit, right? And they're good. There's a variety of them. But what do you do with it besides satisfying a requirement for graduation? Where do you go with it? How do you separate yourself from the masses? How do you set yourself apart? How do you make yourself more marketable? Extracurricular activities, that's good. Making connections, that's good. That's the private school way. That's why people send their kids to private school. The wealthy can afford it, the upper 5% of the population, and the rest, most can't, and they'll do anything. They'll work 10 jobs to get their kid into a private school so that kid can become connected to that private school community, maybe go to a private college as well. But not everybody belongs in college. Where are the people who can work with their hands, who can build and fix things, right? Put things together. You could probably make a lot of a very good living just by putting furniture together. All this do-it-yourself stuff that you buy at the big box stores, bring it home. What do you do? Look at it. For me, if my wife wasn't here, my kid's stuff wouldn't get put together because I'm an idiot with that. I'm like lost. When I took the test for the military, I scored lowest in mechanical ability, right? All my scores were low. I think the only thing I scored well in was administrative, paperwork, right? Wasn't electronic, wasn't mechanical, wasn't scientific, right? But at least they found a job for me, right? Which was probably a very low-end job. That's what I was suited for back then, right? Because I had learning disabilities that I didn't know about. No one knew about it back then. Stuck you in a corner and didn't cause trouble, and you got socially promoted, which still happens today. But not all kids need to go to college. We need kids who can work with their hands, right? Kids who can work with the rectangular square brainwashing box and make it happen, put it together, loaded, uploaded, downloaded, unloaded. I don't know. They're making a lot of money. We've had kids come to the house, and then we pay them a good wage to help us out of a jam. Not bad. Nothing wrong with that. But where are the people who can build furniture? Where are the painters, the electricians, the carpenters, the plumbers, the handyman without certificates and degrees and certifications? A person who can just do it because you know he can do it. You trust him, right? Oh, I need somebody to hang a window or to put the screens in or fix the front door or hook up the ice making machine in the refrigerator or build a table or do something. Where are those people, right? Are we forcing them and channeling them in every kid's brainwashing to go in college, which is why teachers teach to the test and everybody's worried about scores and scandals come out of there when answers are changed in both the low performing schools and at the elite schools. The private schools and the public schools are both victims, are both doing the same thing. They're cheating by the leaders who were put in there to entrust with trust for the kids and their future. They're changing scores. So the kid thinks they're really as good as they are, and they're not, right? Because the truth is not known. We're hiding the truth. We're masking it. Just like a kid who's like the all-star little league athlete. Everybody, oh, you're great, you're great, you're good, you're good. The kid gets to high school, doesn't even make the team. Doesn't even want to try out for it, right? Because they find out they're not good. What do you call valedictorians or salutatorians? They're in their school. They're the elite academics with the advanced placement and the honors and all this stuff with, you know, high scores on their standardized test because they test well and they read well, they comprehend and they know and all this. That's fine. Then they go to a college, and half the kids in their college are salutatorians and valedictorians as well. Excuse me. Where does that leave them? They were me too. So you reach your peak. Most kids peak in high school, right? And from there, it's a crapshoot. There's another cliche. It's what they want out of life. It's whatever you get out of something is what you put in. And that's a philosophy that is very simple in content and performance. You only get stuff out what you put in. If you're looking to be enabled the rest of your life, that's there too. And many people are, which is why there's multiple generations of welfare recipients. I know of, and some personally, that have received welfare for 3-4 generations. Somebody's got to be able to work in that family. Somebody's capable. It's not all slip and falls after 6 months of working, so you go on disability. Somebody's got to be able to commit to working and contributing to our society, right? So that they would do it, right, with our national health care. They'd find money. And it always bothers me when someone says, oh, I don't have any money. Well, what are you walking around with a $6 cup of coffee, you smoke a pack of cigarettes a day, and you have a cell phone, the newest, latest one, internet, and cable TV? You know, that's probably $300 a month for all that stuff right off the top. And you don't have any money? You're bumming money? Why don't you go to work instead of, you know, I don't know. That's a whole other story. We don't have time for that now. What we do have time for right now is for me to say, this is Marty Ford, live on bbsradio.com. The name of the show is You About Ready. If you want to listen to previous shows, if you have some time, you can go to www.bbsradio.com/delta/You About Ready. It's one word, YOUBOUTREADY. www.bbsradio.com/delta/You About Ready. This is Marty Ford. Signing off by saying those words of wisdom, power up your power, because the power is in you.